And let's skip over to chapter 3. This is the last record of the teaching here. And here he entered into the synagogue. You know, quite often he would go into the home, but here he went. But whenever he went in the synagogue, it was usually enemy territory. You look at the history of revivals and Christianity and the Word of God moving, and generally the largest and most significant enemy was organized religion. Religious leaders and big religious groups were generally the enemies of those who are trying to move the Word of God. Because when Jesus Christ, they wanted to crucify him. The religious leaders hated him, wanted him dead, so they wanted to crucify him. But they were under Roman occupation, and they couldn't do it without Roman approval. So they sent him to the Roman governor, and the Roman governor said, you know, this guy's a religious leader, I don't really care. I don't find anything wrong with him, you know. If he wants to teach that stuff, it's fine with me. I don't care if they're teaching the Jewish stuff or he's teaching his stuff. It's just all the same to me. And he released him. But the religious leaders made such a stink that they knew they had to crucify somebody. So they had Barabbas. Barabbas was a thief and a murderer. I don't know if he was a murderer, but he did something worth, huh?
Insurrection.
Yeah, insurrection.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, I thought he was a murderer. And his name was Jesus Barabbas. So there was two Jesuses. And the Roman governor says, okay, I know how to get out of this. I'll give him, which one do you want? You want the murderer or you want the religious guy killed? And they released. And so they said, give us Barabbas. And it was the religious leader and stacked all the court out there with people that would yell that. And so it was always, and here he is, he's in enemy territory. He entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And they, the religious leaders, watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Well, you know, if somebody came into my church in the home here, and he was a great healer, and it was somebody here that had a hand that was a problem, and he healed that guy, I wouldn't get mad at him. I wouldn't accuse him. I would say, praise God that so-and-so got healed of his withered hand. You know, maybe I was not able to do it. Some people I've ministered to have got delivered from great things, and some people I've ministered to haven't got delivered. And it's interesting, there was people in the book of Acts that Jesus Christ had walked past that didn't get healed, that the apostles healed. And so there's each of us has a personal ministry that we can reach people that the other one can't. And so God told Jesus Christ, heal this guy. And the guys there ready to accuse him. And Jesus Christ said unto the man with the withered hand, stand forth. And then he said, is it unto them, the religious leaders, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored whole as the other. And verse 6, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians how they might destroy him. They wanted to kill him. Here it is, the greatest thing from God in the last several thousand years, and they wanted to kill him. But see, that's the result you get. And that's why a lot of times church in the home really works. Because you try to do it through a big group, and somewhere along the line you get resistance. And when I was a kid, we were part of a big church, my family was, and my mom went and asked the question to the preacher, well, if little babies are so innocent, you know, you get a little brand new born, they're innocent, they haven't done anything wrong yet. How can they be born in sin? Why do they need to be baptized and forgiven and all that stuff? Well, if you know the word, you know that we got inherited sin nature from Adam. And because of that, we had that in us even when before we've actually committed our own sins. But see, the preacher didn't know that from the Word. And so what the preacher said to my mom, he said, "That's just the devil in you making you ask those questions." So we quit that church because that preacher was abusive. And I've told you some of this, you guys have heard this story before. That preacher ended up in an insane asylum with alcoholism. And then I got involved with another ministry that did home fellowships, which was great. But I don't know if they really did it right, because they did home fellowships, but what they did is with the home fellowships is they would take all, they would, like we, at our home fellowship, we take an offering we have available for people to give. And what this ministry did is they had all the people took the money and sent it back to Ohio, and the people, they would, the fellowship, church home fellowship coordinator would give his money, and they, everybody else give their money and send it back to Ohio, and they would work for free. And but that's not the way they did it in the first century. Do you see where they would occasionally take an offering for an area that had a famine or had a great need? Like say there's people in New York that are, you know, there's this hurricane hit or something, or Florida. We're going to send money down to help them recover from that. But you don't send all your tithe there every month or whatever. And what Diane and I do is we give money to people that have need. And there's more people that have need than we have money to give, but we will give money. And there's people that give money to us. But I'm like Paul. I still have to work on it. I haven't written all those great epistles that Paul wrote. I'm not a great apostle like Paul was, but I still have to work a job. And people give money, then it helped pay for the cost of our meal and so forth. But that's how they handled that in the first century, and that's how it should be handled. But it when somebody's getting rich off of a ministry, then you can figure there's something wrong. And the saddest thing is that sometimes you see the ones that are getting rich and they've taken a vow of poverty. And they got this red robe and this crown with jewels and all these things and servants. And
or they own multi-million dollar homes somewhere. Remember Obama's preacher? What was his name?
Oh, yeah. But there's a lot of those guys. A lot of TV preachers are millionaires. And if you're getting you're a millionaire off of teaching the Word, then I think there's something wrong. And, you know, the cool thing, though, is God can still work. A lot of times there's people in those churches and so forth that God still works with the people. And God still delivers. And, you know, the average Christian person in most churches are wonderful people, and I have nothing against them. It's those religious leaders that fight. It's another verse I keep quoting all the time. There's a verse in the Gospels that says Jesus Christ was reproving the Pharisees. You guys have the keys to the kingdom, but you don't enter in, and you keep other people from entering in. And see, if you have the keys to the kingdom, then you're supposed to unlock the doors that let people in for deliverance. And so that's why I believe in home fellowships and how I think it should work. And I think really it's interesting in the our country. I was praying before fellowship started, I was praying for our country, but before we had 1776, in the early 1700s, they had a great revival, and there was a lot of preachers that would preach in churches, but also home fellowships that was all around our country. And because you got to have teach spiritual freedom first before you ever have political freedom. Abraham Lincoln, one of our great presidents, grew up in a family, and they did church in the home, in his family. And I'm pretty sure they spoke in tongues, but I can't prove it. But I was reading some documents years ago that sort of made me think that that was true. And so church in the home, I think, is the foundational thing that's going to change our world and change our country. And I think that's where God really moves. And I think that's where God really dwells. And I think, like in the first century, that's where the Word sounds out. And you read at the end of the book of Acts, Paul, towards the end of his life, had a rented house, and he would receive people onto him, and he would teach the word. He had a little church in his own home. He didn't own his house. He was renting the place, but he still, he would just do the best he could in his situation. He never got, he wasn't a millionaire. He didn't get rich. He didn't have gold and servants and all that stuff, but he kept teaching the Bible and right on to the end.
Well, I remember Paulson, Virginia. Some of you know Paulson, Virginia should. And Paulson is from Germany. And he has his father and stepmother still live in Germany. So, and this was years ago. Paulson, Virginia went every year or so, they'd go to Germany to visit his father. And Virginia, they were driving through town. They had these big churches, all different denominations. And there was like almost nobody going to them because they were state run. So they were government controlled. And so therefore, the word couldn't really live there because the government said, you can't say this, you can't say that. And so what people had to do is they had to go literally underground, and they had churches and their homes or their cellars or whatever. And the word still moved in Germany, but just because they had all these great churches.
Well, that's where Martin Luther started the Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
And also what happened in World War II in the concentration camps. What history books tell us that they killed the Jews, but what they don't tell us is they also killed the gypsies, they also killed the homosexuals, they killed all the people with birth defects, and they also went after the religious Christians. A lot of them got thrown into concentration camps.
When you look at the book of Acts, it's always the religious leaders that wanted to keep us under the law.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Roman Catholics ever did it, but it wouldn't surprise me in the early part when the Vatican first got built, probably some Pope said, once a year you have to come and visit. Don't know if that ever happened or not, but if we were still under the law, we'd have to go to Jerusalem.
Well, they had their own new sets of laws, they had the traditions, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the great Bible.
Things can start out.
Can I say something first?
Sure.
Then you're next, sorry. But a great Bible teacher said something once, and he said, anytime somebody tells me I have to do something, I have a problem with that. Because the Word of God says the only thing I have to do that I'm absolutely required to do is love God with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. Anything else is just laws of men and traditions of men. So go ahead, Diane.
Most things start out, you know, because a lot of us were part of an industry, Way International, and I learned a lot of great truths there. And it's, I think in the beginnings it had a real good heart in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then things crept in, and it was basically they tried to run it like a business.
Mm-hmm.
And when that crept in, that now they're making decisions that are business decisions rather than what is God telling us to do. And then everything had to be controlled. They start controlling what people taught, how they acted, and when that kind of thing happens, then you're not listening to God, and it puts God in a box. God doesn't want to live in a box. He's God. And that's why each one of us has our own personal relationship with God, and God is so, God doesn't put us in a box.
Well,
you know
that,
what I mean? God doesn't say, oh, you have to act this way, or you know, I'm not going to talk with you. No, God, He is so forgiving, so kind, so loving. And all the rules that men put on us, God doesn't say that stuff. He just doesn't say that stuff.
Well, how that ministry operates today is you have to submit your teaching in writing, and that has to be approved. And you have, when you teach from their podium, you have to read it word for word. And if you deviate, you get in trouble.
And I don't mean he on any particular religion or group. What I think the thing here is about each of us can go directly with God.
Well,
each
see,
of us
yeah. that's
can,
the,
let, can we can walk and talk with Him. We can listen to Him. We can make decisions in our lives based upon God. And I think all of us have seen blessings in our lives where you know things just work out for us, and we see other people complaining, "Well, this happened," and it's like, you know. know, things kind of go pretty well for me, and I kind of like it that way. Maybe I'm spoiled, and I haven't experienced all your pain. I'm sorry. But I'm pretty blessed just walking and talking with God. It makes life, to me, pretty darn easy. You know, we are God's spoiled kids, I think.
Just like Esther walked into that throne, King Caesar, get up here. You know, it's just like us going into the throne room. God said, get up here on my left.
Again, we come boldly to God. You know, there's nothing in between us and God. You know, nothing. And anyone that tries to put something as a block, like, oh, you have to go to this person or that person before you make, no, direct access, anytime, anywhere. And beautiful.
Well, we're running a little late here. So I'm going to pray, and we'll continue to hang and talk while we're eating. And we got some meat to cook on the grill and some salad and some other things like that. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for fellowship today. And again, Father, thank you for making it available that we can do fellowship in the home. And thank you for your wonderful examples in the Word of the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ and others who would do home fellowships and have amazing results. And bless our home fellowship here and bless the home fellowships around the world and inspire, raise up more Christians to do fellowship, church in the home, fellowship in the home, whatever we want to call it. Just rise up people to do that and bless their lives. And thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Also bless the food in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.